Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. It wasn't you flying the plane, was it, Aldine? Did you fly in there? Oh, wow, look at that. Didn't even think about that one. I love that video. I feel a little sorry for you all this morning because I am pumped. This is something that is dear to my heart, and it is already 11:22. They put a clock up here just for me, by the way. There's no other one. It's just mine. So I feel a little sorry for you, but settle in. This is what I think is one of the most important things people can hear. We're going through a series in 1 Peter, going through the book, and we started a section of Scripture that starts with verse 22 of the chapter of the first chapter, and we're going to go into a couple verses of the second chapter. And I pointed out last week that Peter puts together three concepts. He like weaves together three different concepts of our Christian faith. He puts together the idea of our new birth, being born again. This is what makes us saved. It's what makes us believers in Jesus Christ. As we cross that line where we believe and put our faith in Him, in the cross of what He did, and it makes us a born again believer. And so He takes that concept of being born again, and then He takes a second concept of loving each other. And we talked about that, and we focused on that last week. We as a body, we are to love all people, but we are especially within our brotherhood to love each other. In fact, this is kind of the main part of this passage. So He takes our new birth in Christ, He takes loving each other, and then He weaves in another piece of it, a third. And it's hard to understand this, and I've search this and study this. He puts in the concept of the Word of God. He places that in there. He has this triangle, this three-legged stool, and He kind of weaves in and out of the teaching of being born again, of loving each other, and the Word of God. And this morning, we're going to focus on that third leg, because last week we talked about the first two mainly, and this morning I want to focus on the Word of God. And I will tell you, I could preach for hours on this because I believe in it. It's changed my life and I believe in it. And so I want you to catch this. I want to preach right up till the where you can't stand it and you're going to go to sleep, all right? Because some of you, I won't get very far, but for the rest of you, I'm going to go right to that length. And I want to do this. I want to look at the Scripture first of all. We're going to read through it. Robert, my thing isn't working. There we go. Pray with me before we start. Lord, thank You so much. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, we watch this video. We watch Your Word, the revelation of Yourself. You put it on paper, but You fly it into areas, remote areas that do not have that. We have Bibles all over our homes, and we trivialize it. And then we watch a group of people who are starving and craving for Your Word, and they receive it with just rejoicing, with tears, with gladness. That's humbling. Thank You, Lord, that You have communicated to us. We wouldn't have any idea You exist. We wouldn't have any idea that You placed Your Son on this earth and paid the price for our sin, except that You put it into a message and You've given it to us, and it reveals Your heart for us. It reveals Your love for us, and we love You in return. So thank You. And this morning, Lord, I pray that Your Word would be powerful. We claim that it is, that it would have spiritual power this morning to break through defenses that we put up, and that You would, it's not a guilt thing, Lord, but to just impress upon our hearts how beautiful it is that You, an unseeable Spirit, have communicated with us, first through Your Son, Your Word made flesh, and then secondly, through Your Word that You have written down, His words that we get to experience. So this morning, Lord, be powerful as we read and study. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what we're going to look at this morning, the passage of Scripture. New batteries? Okay. I'll have to read slow. Robert's changing batteries. Verse 22, since you have... Thank you. No, I don't. Prove me wrong. Good job, Robert. Thank you. Since you have purified your souls by obedience to the truth. That phrase, purified your souls by obedience to the truth. I believe, and most people believe, that that is meaning our new birth experience, becoming born again. You don't purify your souls by just being obedient. It's not a works faith. Obedience to the message of the gospel, believing. And so take that to mean you've been born again. Since you've been born again, you could read, by purifying your souls, obedience to the truth, so that you have a genuine love for your brothers. That's just a natural outflow of being born again. You're just naturally going to have a love. And this word is actually a kind of a feelings-based, a brotherly love. The word is Philadelphia, a genuine love for your brothers. Then he goes and says agape, love one another deeply. That's the word, agape. This is a word that's emotionless. There's no feelings attached. It really doesn't matter who the other person is. It all happens because you have chosen to love. It's a God type of love. Love one another deeply from a pure heart, for you have been born again. Not, there it is again. You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. We've been born again of imperishable seed. That word seed probably refers to two things. Jesus Christ, he's a seed. In Galatians 3, Paul calls him the seed of Abraham. In Genesis 3:15, he is a seed of the woman that crushes the head of the seed of the serpent. And so we have been born again of imperishable seed, not of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Now, Peter brings in the idea of the Word of God. We've been born again through the Word of God. That's an important concept to catch. Verse 24. And then he goes into a section where he's quoting Isaiah 40. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. So people have a glory. We're created in the image of God. There is a glory. It's short-lived. It's like the grass. It's like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. It's eternal. Everything that God says, everything that he reveals to us, everything that we have here in Scripture, plus everything he says, it endures forever. It's an eternal factor. And this is the word that was preached to you. Now, he goes on in chapter 2. Keep in mind, the chapters in the Bible were put there by men. It's not the Holy Spirit. They're not Holy Spirit inspired. And in this case, I kind of think they didn't do a very good job. So we can just read right into chapter 2 as if it was the chapter division wasn't even there. Peter goes on and says, therefore, because of all this, because you've been born again, because you love each other, and because you have the Word of God, because of those things, rid yourself of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn infants, crave spiritual milk. The word here is a word logikos, which is from logos, which is the word. So you could read this, and a lot of translations have it. If you have a certain translation, says crave pure spiritual milk of the word. This is what Peter is meaning. So that by it you may grow up in your salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Here's what I want to do. I want to quickly, because of time, review last week. Last week we did this. We learned a couple things. First of all, our new birth will cause us to love. Capital W, capital I, capital L, capital L. If you are a newborn believer in Jesus Christ, you will love. It's just the result. In fact, it's kind of a test. John makes it a test. We know you've been born of God if you love the brothers. If you say you've been born of God but you don't love the brothers, you're a liar, is what John says, flat out. And so it's a natural result. Peter says this, since you have purified your souls by obedience to the truth, meaning born again, so that you have a genuine love for your brothers. That's just the outflow of it. It's going to happen. Here's the second thing we talked about. Our new birth places us into a new family. One of the most exciting, fun things. Being born again, you're born again into a family. That's us. Congratulations. You're born again into a new family. And so there is an opportunity to love. You have brothers and sisters now that you get to love. Here's what we went into. That was the whole concept. That was where Peter was talking about being born again. Now you bring in the second leg, which Peter talks about love, and he gave us three descriptive words. He says this, so that you have a genuine love for your brothers. The word genuine means sincere. It doesn't mean fake. How many times do you look at somebody and you have a sentiment of love? It's like, oh, you just have this compassion And you stroke yourself and say, wow, I really love people. No, he's saying a sincere love is one that actually ends up acting on that. We actually do something about it. I gave you an assignment last week, if you remember. I challenged you. I shared someone in my life that I feel like I have abandoned completely and that I needed to do something about it. Because sincere love is not just a sentiment. It's not a fake love. The outside matches the inside, and you actually act on that love. And so I don't know if you came through, if I asked you to make a commitment to actually follow through and do something that you've been, that God's been showing you in your life that you need to do to love someone. And so that's just a little challenge. So that's the genuine love. Then he says this, love one another deeply. The word means all in love. It's a 100% commitment. It means when you love people, it will cost you something. When's the last time you loved someone that cost you something? It cost you a comfort. It cost you time, energy, money. It cost you pain. You did something for someone and it even brought pain into your life. When's that? Because this is what he's saying. Love one another deeply. The word deeply is the same word he uses in Luke 22 when he talks about Jesus praying. The night before he's arrested, Jesus is praying on the Mount of Olives and it says he prayed even more earnestly, more deeply. And then it says his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. That is the deeply he's talking about. So love one another deeply. And then he goes on and says, love from a pure heart. Now, I didn't finish that last week. And we're going to do that today, but not right now. So hang on to this. We're going to discover what Peter means by loving from a pure heart in a little bit. I'll come back to it. But here's what I want to do this morning. I want to look at six reasons. I want to give you six reasons why I think that Peter brings the Word of God into this triangle of being born again and loving one another. All right? Six reasons. I could have had 50. I stopped at six, by the way. And so I love this, and I want to go through this, and I am passionate about this. Number one, the Word of God is the only tangible bridge between our world and God's. The Word of God that you hold in your hand, this is the only physical, seeable, tangible thing that links the spirit realm with the physical realm. I want you to understand that Peter, when he's talking to us, he is introducing the idea of being born again. That's a spiritual concept. You can't see it. It's there. Oh, sometimes you see the results of it, but you don't understand. It's a spiritual concept. But then he goes to the very physical concept of us loving each other. You can see that. So how does he get from this spiritual realm to this physical realm? You need a bridge. Here's the bridge. The Word of God, and catch this. This is the only tangible, keyword tangible, thing on this earth that links us to an unseeable spiritual being of a God the Father, the Word of God. This is so incredibly important. Without this, we would have no idea what God has done for us. Please catch this. We do not worship a book. That's not the issue. But in this book, a sovereign being has revealed himself to us. And we need this. We have to have this. It's life and death. He has first revealed himself through his Son. He was the first word. The Bible uses the word logos for Christ. And it uses the word logos for this. It's the word. It's the same thing. There are only two, think about this. There are probably only two physical things that have ever been on this planet that are eternal, that you can see, that are tangible. I could be wrong. Someone correct me later. Not now. Two things. First of all, when Jesus Christ was resurrected, his resurrection body, he came out, he showed Thomas the scars in his hand. That is the body that we will see Jesus Christ with in heaven. That is a body that works both in the spirit realm and the physical realm. Both. It's a bridge. Here's the other thing. Now, I don't know if we'll see this Bible, but we will see the words of God in written form. I got a feeling we'll even want to go back and say, man, how did I miss this? And study, because the words of God are eternal and they're food for our soul. They are the bridge. I want to share a story. I grew up hunting. hunting deer in southern Ohio. We hunted on this farm. We had a cabin in the woods, still do. And there was a place on this farm, 600-acre farm. There was a place on this farm where it's tucked way back. You can't drive to it, or at least you're not supposed to drive to it. You know, there's no road, and it's tucked way back on this little hill by this little creek in the woods. There is a foundation, for lack of it, just these big hand-hewn rocks that are moss-covered. And there's a foundation about almost the size of this stage, and it's maybe 4 or 5 feet deep. And it's a cabin. It's a foundation of some cabin from probably, you know, early to mid-1800s. And I just love to go. I always make an effort to go to that foundation. It's in the middle of nowhere. And you just go, and I just sit on those rocks. And I look around, and there's a well. You have to be careful not to fall down in the well. And it's because it's weeds grown over it. They have a well, and I would sit there. And I imagine a family lived here. A family lived here, and I imagine, you know, there's the creek. You know, they have a creek for water, but they also have a well if the creek dries up, and there are trees like this big around growing out of the cabin, so that means it's at least that old. And so any tree bigger than that was still here, and I picture what it was like. Here's the thing. That foundation is a tangible, seeable thing that links me into some unseeable, faraway world that I almost know nothing about. If it wasn't there, I'd have no idea. The Word of God is the tangible revelation of God in our lives. And it is so important. Here's what Jesus said. The Spirit gives life. He's talking about the spirit realm. The flesh counts for nothing. He's talking about the physical realm. Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. And so this is the first point. Here's the second one. The Word of God. It is only through the Word that we know what truth is. And it is only through truth that we can truly love. This is one of the things that separates believers, a Christian love, godly love, from worldly love. Now, there is a big push out there in the world right now to talk about, oh, we just got to love each other. And I want to show you. Here's what Peter is saying. He says, verse 22, since you have purified your souls by obedience to the truth, so that you have a genuine love. Truth and love always go together. They're traveling partners. They're joined at the hip. You cannot have one without the other. They go together. This is how God has designed it. You can only love in truth. The world tries to just love by sentiment. But if you do not have objective truth, then there's no possible way to love. I've heard this illustration from somewhere. I don't know where. I didn't make this up. But let's say you go to the doctor and you have some kind of pain, abdominal pain. So you go to the doctor and the doctor runs his tests on you and he figures out you have some kind of abdominal cancer. And this is really serious. But he loves you and he doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want to say anything to make you feel bad. So he doesn't tell you that you have cancer, but rather he comes into your room and he just gushes and he's super nice and he tells you how great you look and here's your bill, but I'll just tear it up. And you think, wow, he's just so nice. And he just doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want to say anything to harm you or hurt you in any way. Or let's say you go to a doctor that sees the tests and he comes back and he comes in your room and he says, look, this is serious. You have abdominal cancer. You don't have long. If you let me operate right away, I think we can take care of this. Now, which doctor loves you? The one that is truthful. There's no love in telling anybody anything that's not true. There's no love. We speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4. This is what we're about. And it is only through the Word of God that we know truth. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, he said, if you hold to my teaching, if you hold to my word is what it means, logos. If you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you hold to my word, you will know the truth. It's the only place that we know what real truth is. Here's the third one. It is only through the Word that we can love people with eternity in mind. There is no way that we can love people eternally unless we know the truth of it. Here's what Peter says. He brings eternity into this. He says, all people are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. There's an eternal quality in God. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what the best kept secret on the earth is? What is the best kept secret? And I will tell you, it's not what's in Area 51. I think I heard this week that there's like two people that know the recipe to Coca-Cola. That's not it. It's not the 11 herbs and spices KFC chicken. It's not where nuclear missile silos are. The best kept secret on this earth is this. This is phenomenal. What happens to you after you die? Do you realize it's an event that every person undergoes, and yet we do not know at all what happens to us on the other side of death apart from the revelation of God through His Word? And I want to tell you something. People live, what, 80 years, let's say. Eternity is really, really long. It's kabillions of years. And so 80 years versus kabillions, that's a real number, by the way, is like 0.00001% of your lifetime. So if we love people only with the consideration of 0.00001 of their lifetime, are we really loving them? We are to love people. And this is why I think Peter brings this out. There's an eternal quality in love. And you only know that through the Word. We love people with eternity in mind. Does that mean we only do eternal things? No, not at all. People came by my house this week where I was working and wanted me to blow up their bike tires. If people need fed, we feed. If people need clothes, we clothe. That we are to do things that are temporary, but we are loving people with a perspective of eternity. And that only happens through the Word, because that's only where it's revealed. Number four, it is through the Word that we are born again into this new family. Now, catch this. It is through the Word. Well, we think, well, no, it's through the cross. It is through the cross. It is through Jesus dying on the cross for my sin, but it's only by the message of the cross that we know about it, and we believe the message. Peter says it this way, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. It is the message of the cross that we choose to believe. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, it is the message of the cross that is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Think about it. The message of the cross is the dividing line between two groups of people, those who are perishing and those who are being saved. It is the message, not even the cross, the message of the cross, the word of the cross. Logos is the word there. And so it is the word of God, the gospel message that we believe. That's how people come in to the kingdom in the first place. That's how people come into the family, is by hearing the message and believing it. Let me give you some scripture. James 1:18, He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for all He created. John 20, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in His name. Romans 10:17, familiar verse. Consequently, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He talks about anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they going to call on somebody that they haven't believed in? Or how are they going to believe if they haven't heard? How are they going to hear unless someone preaches? That's our job. We love people by preaching the gospel, because they need to hear it so that they can get saved, because it's the message. It's the truth of the word, how people get saved. Let me give you another. I love this one. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received. That's how they got saved. The gospel message, which is the same as the word of God, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I have received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. He keeps going back. It is by the word that people get saved. I heard a story this week. It was too good to pass up, I got to tell you. It's about a guy. I'll try to think of his name. It's like Gaylord Camberimi or something like that. I can't pronounce it. He's from Zimbabwe. That's why I can't pronounce it. And he was the general secretary of the Bible Society of Zimbabwe. And he tells this story. He says he was out in a village in his country there, and he was passing out New Testaments to people. And he came on this guy, and he was trying to give him a New Testament, and the guy refused it, and he kept pressuring, and the guy finally said, "Look, if you give me that New Testament, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear out every page, and I'm going to roll it up and smoke it. I'm going to use it to smoke." And so Gaylord came to him and said, "Look, I'm fine with that, as long as you read the page first." He went about, gave him the New Testament, went about, didn't think about it. He says this, 15 years later, he went to a conference, a Bible conference, and he just came in, he was just attending, and he sat down. And the speaker that was at the podium, he was speaking to the crowd, recognized him, and he stopped his talk, and he called him up front, and he said, "This man does not remember me, but 15 years ago, he gave me a New Testament. And I told him I would just smoke the pages of it, but he gave it to me anyway and asked me to read it. And he said, I smoked Matthew, I smoked Mark, I smoked Luke, and when I got to John 3:16, I couldn't smoke it anymore, and my life has changed." So great story, I hope it's true. What a story. But I want you to know, it is by the Word of God that we get saved, that we come into the family, come into this family. So of course it's part of the picture of us loving one another. Here's number five. We're doing better than I thought. We're getting there. Number five, it is through the Word that we grow up. Not only do we come in as newborn babes, but we grow up in Him. Peter says this exactly. He says this, like newborn infants, crave spiritual, pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. There is something about the Word of God that it produces in us things that cannot come any other way. I want to stop and tell you something. The other day I was thinking of something. I was thinking what it would be like to get to go out and to shop for a church to go to. I've never had that opportunity. I'll be honest. I've had several things I've missed out. I've never interviewed for a job, which I feel slighted. I want to interview for a job for some reason. I don't know why. And I've never tried to pick a church to go to. Never. It's just always been slammed out this way. And I was thinking, Carl, what would it look like if you went out? What would you do if you went out and said, "I want to go to a church"? What would that church look like? And I didn't think about it very long, of course. I'm not leaving, by the way. But this is what I'll guarantee you. I would go, I don't care anything about it other than, do the head people preach the Word? Do they stand up here? Here's my thing to you. Start being a little bit fussy with the people that you listen to, who teach you things. I heard a sermon this week that 5 years ago I would have thought was a pretty good sermon because it was interesting. But after, as I was going through it, he hardly cracked open a Bible. Now, he might be completely right. But I would never, you should never trust me. You get this? You should feed on the Word yourself. When the children of Israel went across the Jordan and they went into the promised land, here's how God fed his people. It just rained out of heaven, fell right in their yard. But as soon as he took them into the promised land and he gave them everything, a land flowing with milk and honey, interesting word, milk and honey, as soon as they ate the produce of the land themselves, every man went out for themselves and gathered food, the manna stopped. We live in a time where the Word of God doesn't just fall from the sky anymore. It is every man's individual job to go out and collect and feed themselves. I want to get up here and feed, but it is your job in your home to open the Word and feed yourself. I want to go to a church. Here's what I decide. I want to go to a church where the preacher gets up, and this is his attitude. His attitude is, this is so good that you just got to hear what Jesus, what God is showing me in this. He maybe doesn't put it on the screen like I do, but I want to hear. I don't care what somebody thinks. I don't care about interesting stories. I care about what God really says. I want to tell you, and this, this has totally changed my life. I believe in the power of the Word of God to change people, to feed people. I believe that's how we grow. It's not through nice stories. I've read every church growth strategy and technique, and I will tell you, you can add people to churches through all those things, but you cannot pit people into the kingdom of God with those things. It's only, this is how people come in. I could talk for an hour on this because it is so important. I want to come up here when I preach, and I want to just be so in love with this that I have to show you what's in here. I see so many preachers, and I'm not trying to dog on people. I see so many, I'm trying to illuminate you to look, to know what to look for. I see so many preachers that talk for 20 minutes of their own stuff, and then they try to use a Bible verse or two to prove that they're right. That's not it. It's open this and tell God what people are saying. Oh, okay, enough. Sorry. But this is so important. It is so important. All right, number six. This is what it is through the Word that we can love with a pure heart. Now, this goes back to Peter, what Peter was saying when he said this. Since you have purified your souls by obedience to the truth, so that you have a genuine love for your brothers, love one another deeply from a pure heart. Now, here's what he means. Catch this. As we work to love each other, here's the issue. Do you realize the Spirit of God in you, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, you have everything you need to love each other perfectly? The issue isn't having to gain something. The issue isn't more power. The issue is to deal with the things that block you from loving people. We have contaminants in our own heart. The pure heart is the idea of getting rid of the ugly contaminants in our hearts that keep us from loving each other. I don't need more power to love you. I just need less of me. Now, here's what Peter means. He says this in chapter 2. This goes right with it, I'm convinced. Here's how you do the pure heart thing. Rid yourself of all malice. Malice is having an ill will, just a general ill will toward people. It's a kind of a premeditated, I just hope people fail. I hope people die. Whatever it is, there's just an ill will toward people. All malice and all deceit. The word deceit there is kind of a picture of a fish hook. It's a fisherman with a baited fish, the ultimate deceit. I am tricking you. I am baiting you. And inside I have a surprise hook for you. It's dealing with other people through deception. All deceit, all hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the idea of wearing a mask. That's the picture. I try to do this. I try to come up here and be transparent. We are not to relate to each other behind some kind of facade. We're not something on the outside and then something different on the inside. In fact, the story that rocks the new church is Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. They came and gave, they pretended to give more money than they should have. They pretended to be more spiritual than they were, and God killed them right there in the church. Can you imagine in our churches if people would keel over? Anyone who pretends to be more spiritual, I raise my hands and I'm thinking about work tomorrow and worship, boom, dead. Can you imagine that? I'm kind of making that up, of course. But that's the urgency. So we deal with each other with no fakeness. Hypocrisy, envy. There's nothing, and envy isn't just, oh, I wish I had a scooter like Carl's. I just thought of that, by the way. No, it's the idea of wanting something from, it's the idea of when something good happens to someone, you actually are bummed. Or when something bad happens to someone else, you kind of like smug. There's just this, you want other people, you know what envy is. And slander, that means speaking evil of someone. You're speaking evil of someone for the intent for other people to affect other people's impression of them. Peter's saying, here's these five things. And I imagine he could have listed a lot more, but these are relational things that go deep to the heart. Catch this. It is only through the Word of God that you can get to the core of the being of your heart to address these. There is no behavioral techniques that take care of these. Jesus said in Mark 4, it is out of the heart that the evil thoughts come. And he lists a whole list of things with these things on them. It is deep in the heart. There is no human strategy that can deal with that. It's only the Word of God that can go to this depth. Hebrews 4 says this, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare. The idea of laid bare is the idea of a person having the hair of another person and jerking his head back so that his jugular is exposed. He is 100% vulnerable and exposed. It's the idea of being laid bare before the eyes of him to whom he must give an account. That's what the word of the Lord does in our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Sometimes you open the Bible and you read something, you think, this did nothing for me. You have no idea. You have no idea. The word, the Spirit in us uses the word that comes in from the outside because truth is not in us. Truth is out there. It is in the Word of God. And those two work together and they do things in you that you have no idea. It's not just knowing information. It's that the Spirit, when I believe that information and live on that divine revelation, it's supernatural inside of you and it changes you. It changes your desires, changes your behaviors, it changes your thoughts, it renews your mind. There is radical difference. And I don't like being negative and I don't want guilt. But if the church of Jesus Christ in this country, again, I'm going to say this. If you watch 4 hours of TV every night and you read your Bible for 10 minutes, the math is not in your favor. It's just not. And again, forget the guilt. Here's what I want to say to you. Here's what Peter says. Like newborn infants, those of you who have babies, they're one-track mind. They don't care about anything else. They don't care about things you care about. They care about being fed. Milk. That's what they want. And you know what? God has given them this mechanism that makes you want to get them milk. I don't know what it is, but who can sit and ignore a baby's cry? Because they crave pure spiritual milk of the word so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. The idea of crave, the word for crave, the Greek word for crave, if you've heard of the Septuagint is the Old Testament. It was originally written in Greek, but in the second and third centuries, a bunch of Jewish scholars got together and translated was originally written in Hebrew, and they translated into Greek. And the Greek word in the Septuagint for crave is the same one in Psalms 42 where it says, as the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you, O Lord. Same word, the longing. Here's the thing. If God commands us to crave His Word, then He must somehow enable us to do it. And so which I get it. It wasn't always mine either. And the idea isn't guilt, but I want us to pray for, I want us to seek, I want us to desire. He means for us to hunger. We have a physical body that just naturally hungers. I can just feed all day long. We have a spiritual body that hungers for the Word. I don't know if you realize it, but you can create an environment in your life when you don't read your Bible for one day, you feel it. You are hungry. You know it. It's actually possible. No guilt. But I want to just lay that on you so that you can hear what the Word says and let the Spirit speak to you. Now, I'm going to finish with two announcements. In light of this, I decided to do it then. Two announcements. Please pay attention. First of all, next Sunday is going to be different. I've told you this. We've gotten word that not many people are going to be here because of Memorial Day. I don't know what all. And so we're going to have a different service. There's no preaching. Next Sunday, we're going to exercise this, by the way. So we're going to put, I think this is the way we're going to put. We'll put a microphone on stand here and a microphone on stand here at the aisle. And I'm going to ask you, I'm taking a risk, because if nobody comes forward, we're going to have a really short service. That's why I can go long, because I'm milking from next week. No. Prove me wrong. So here's what I'm asking you. I'm asking you to, as you are in the Word, and God shows you something, and you want to reveal that to us. We want to know what God has shown you from His Word. So my idea is, I'll see how this works, is that you come up the aisle and you stand at the microphone and you get 3 minutes. I know that's a ripoff because I get like 45, but you get three. But in, say, 3 minutes. Some of you will be less, some more. Read us something that God has spoken to you from His Word, and maybe you can say what it means to you, what it's done in your life, or some teaching that you've learned about it, something that can mean something to someone else from His Word. Paul talks to Timothy about not forsaking the public reading of Scripture, so we're doing that next week. And then while somebody is at this microphone, someone else can go over and sit in that chair so they're ready to go. We're just going to go boom, 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 boom. All right? That's next Sunday. I'm excited. So come prepared. Here's the second announcement. We used to, if you've been here a short time, meaning a year or so less, then you haven't seen this. I believe in this, and I want to encourage you. So we do this thing called Summer Bible Reading Challenge. It's a really technical name. And basically it is challenging you. And here's what I want you to read this summer. The New Testament. We're going to read through the New Testament. Now, catch this. 260 chapters. It's 92 days. I'll give you the start and stop date. It's 2.8 chapters a day. It's pretty doable. Some day you can read 4 or 5, and some days maybe 1 or 2. So 260 chapters, you have 92 days. Start date is next Sunday. So if you start now, you got an extra week, free week, no charge. Okay? So start next Sunday, August 29th, May 29th, and 91 days technically, 92, it depends how you count. And August 28th, it ends. And here's the deal. We go out to eat. So your meal is paid. You get to go out to eat with the group on that Tuesday. The hardest part of this has always been setting the date. And so it's Tuesday, August 30th. We are going out to eat as a group. The most we've ever had is 13. And it's usually the same people. I challenge you. I will buy you anything on the menu. I challenge you. I want more than 13 people. And if you've never done it, do this. Do this. It's an amazing thing. You learn things when sitting at that table eating. You just get to know people in ways that you've never known them before. Here's kind of some pictures. So, the last time we did this, we went to Ted's Montana Grill. And I sat kind of across the table from Preston Martin. Preston, raise your hand. Everybody see Preston? This is the kind of thing you would not learn anywhere else. I learned from Preston on that night that he is a celebrity lookalike to Vince Vaughn. That's kind of stuff you won't learn on a Sunday morning. And you'll never forget that when you see him now, because it's pretty dead ringer there. No. Just, I want to encourage you. Again, this is not me preaching down. I used to have to make myself. Now I love it. But I just want to encourage you. It is true. This is the revelation from God to us. And it changes our life. And it enables us to love each other in ways that we cannot otherwise. So I ask you to stand up. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you did not leave us here blind. We are not flying without instruments, without sight. We are flying by sight on your word. You have enlightened our path through your word. Lord, we want to delight in your word. Help us, Lord. You've told us here this morning through Peter that we are to crave the spiritual milk of your word. And that's hard. That's hard, Lord. We don't always. Life is busy. We have things going on. So I pray. If you've given us this command, you've also given us the strength and the tools to live it out. And I pray as a church body, I pray that you would inspire every single heart. Lord, every person that's here, inspire them. Lord, it's not a guilt thing from the past. It's an inspiration of, wow, this is fantastic. The God of the universe has spoken to us. He's revealed His love for us through the cross. He died in my place. Lord, thank You. You died in our place for our sin. Our sin can be totally forgiven, but we don't know that unless we read it in Your Word and we believe it and live it. Lord, we want that as a group. Just be powerful this morning. I pray that the people right now sitting here that want to do this New Testament challenge, Lord, I know people are on different reading schedules and that's fine, but everyone that's here that says, man, I want to do that, Lord, I pray that You give them the strength to carry that out. Change us from the inside out through the power of Your Word, through Your Spirit. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.